Nian Chang is a native of China who spent most of the Chinese Cultural Revolution in prison. Up until that time, she'd been living a prosperous life in Shanghai. Chang is now 72 years old and lives in Washington, D.C. She's written a book about her imprisonment and her release. It's called Life and Death in Shanghai. Our book critic John Leonard has this review.
I'm unaware of anything else in prison literature comparable to Life and Death in Shanghai. We've heard from the tortured and the brutalized, witnesses to Holocaust and poets of the Gulag. But we've never met anyone quite like Nian Chang, an English-educated Chinese gentlewoman of the Shanghai upper middle class. At age 51, a widow, a mother, and a former employee of Shell Oil, Chang was arrested at the very beginning of the Cultural Revolution in 1966. She was accused of having been a running dog of British imperialism, abused at struggle meetings, beaten by Red Guards, and held without trial in solitary confinement for 6.5 years. And she remembers every minute of it. Understand that Chang, except for her remarkable stubbornness and spirit, is not exactly likable, especially if you're a Chinese communist from the wrong side of the tracks. She is the embodiment of almost everything the revolution was supposed to abolish. With her fur coats and evening gowns, her white lacquered screens and Chopin nocturnes, her antique porcelain plates and rose quartz incense burners, her 4 bedrooms and 3 servants and bank accounts in Hong Kong and Singapore, and a Persian cat named Fluffy. The best she can say for Mao is that he was an evil genius, and the only book of his she ever liked was the one on guerrilla warfare. But she will quote him, as everybody during the Cultural Revolution was obliged to quote him, 3 times a day. One of these quotes is new and only semi-scrutable to me. The capitalist class, said Mao, is the skin. The intellectuals are the hair that grows on the skin. When the skin dies, there will be no hair. Chang saves her skin by driving her interrogators crazy. On the streets, the Red Guards smash windows, burn books, beat professors, and chop off the hair of women with permanent waves. It is adolescent rage and symbolic parricide and numerology. Inside Number 1 Detention House, the proletarian revolutionaries want from Chang a confession that will somehow disgrace Chu Enlai, please the military, and appease the night mind and the bloodlusts of the Gang of Four. Chang refuses to accommodate. She is guilty only of being herself. She won't apologize for that. She doesn't wheedle, nor is she cuddly. She nags and scolds. She seems less victimized than insulted. Part schoolmarm, part jailhouse lawyer, part Maggie Thatcher. She refuses even to imagine that she won't prevail. Her contempt is her prophylactic. Somehow she feels she's immune. I'm surprised they didn't just shoot her, but they were amateurs. After 6.5 years and a change in the party line, she is released and unrepentant. She will spend another 7 years in Shanghai, under a sort of privileged house arrest, until she can sneak her way to the United States. God knows, she tells us, how hard I tried to remain true to my country, but I failed utterly through no fault of my own. In this ferocious century, her feeling, her conviction of immunity is amazing. But then so is her book. She intimidated a revolution.
Our book critic John Leonard reviewed Life and Death in Shanghai. Leonard writes about television for New York Magazine and is a columnist for New York Newsday.